Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. Laura Britt, how the heck are you?
Well, I feel like I'm doing better than the Browns are, so I think that's a good sign for me. What about you?
Well, hold on. That's never really the benchmark of...
But this season, it kind of is. I mean, okay. I was really pulling for the Browns. I'm a little disappointed. I'm a big underdog fan, and I just felt like this was their time. This was their moment, and it didn't happen. We'll get into a little bit of that later.
Yeah. I actually would have felt bad if it had ended for the Chiefs the way it ended.
You know, that's fair. And then everybody would have said, oh, the Browns shouldn't have made it because, you know, Patrick Mahomes gets knocked out of the game with a concussion. So there's that side of it too. But I wanted something for Cleveland. I really did.
The thing that I like really fires me up about what's going to be coming up is you have Brady against Rodgers and you have Josh Allen against hopefully Patrick Mahomes. Hopefully he clears a concussion protocol, but I can't think of a better matchup of, you know, old school, new school. I mean, the four quarterbacks who represent those two eras better than anybody else are going to be on display. And it's, you know, the old against the young, or it's the old and the old and the young and the young. And then the Super Bowl will be the old and the young.
Really is fun to think about. I kind of feel like it played out how it should.
Yeah, and you could pull two names out of the hat for either one, and it's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah,
for the Super Bowl.
That's fair. That's fair. I just wanted Cleveland to have a little something, but here, I guess the Browns is going to Browns. Isn't that what we learned this year? Nobody hate me. I didn't do it. Okay, I didn't say it first.
I don't know how big 49ers talk is in the Cleveland area, but if it gets there, Laura,
I'm running.
Yeah. Be careful.
There were a lot of moves this past weekend, though, just within the 49ers organization. This is, you know, once Saleh got the head coaching job with the Jets, we knew the domino was about to fall and all the positions were going to start being named. And that's exactly what happened over the weekend.
Yeah, and so no surprises. DeMeco Ryans is the defensive coordinator of the 49ers. Mike McDaniel is the offensive coordinator of the 49ers with...
Wait, that is surprising, though, Maiocco.
How so?
Because he was named offensive coordinator. So I'm just interested to get your take on that, because when Mike LaFleur was here, he was not named offensive coordinator. He was called the passing game coordinator because Kyle Shanahan is obviously the offensive coordinator. Why do you think they made the decision to give him the OC title?
Yeah, and Mike McDaniel was the run game coordinator. So what they did was basically Kyle a couple of years ago, decided to make both of those guys coordinators because he has a great deal of respect and he values those guys a lot. So he gave them both the title of coordinators. And the idea when he became the head coach in 2017 was he was going to be the offensive play caller. And so there wasn't any use in having someone kind of have that figurehead title of offensive coordinator if they really weren't coordinating the offense. But now I think it's gotten to the point where LaFleur is now with the Jets under Robert Saleh. He's the offensive coordinator there. And McDaniel, I think in order to keep him, you know, I don't think McDaniel had any inclination or any desire to go anywhere else. And I know Kyle Shanahan wanted to keep him at virtually any cost. And with some of these offensive coordinator positions being open, Mike McDaniel was a hot name. And so I think now by giving him that official title and probably putting a little bit more on his plate, who knows, maybe even sprinkle in some play calling duties, I think it'll just be easier to satisfy McDaniels needs and also keep him around for the long term.
Okay, well, that's what I've been dying to talk to you because I wanted to know your thoughts on that. I thought that was very interesting. Not a surprise that he got it, but a surprise that Shanahan did end up using the OC title for him. So, interesting.
And yeah, Mike's an interesting guy, Mike McDaniel. Both the LaFleur and McDaniel, really good guys. And I have had an opportunity to talk with McDaniel on occasion. And I spent a lot of time with him last year at the Super Bowl. And, if you see him, that remember the old days, all the coaches were kind of pudgy and, kind of crusty and, they wore baggy, shirts and pants and,
Now, they actually probably do listen to 49ers talk. So while I might be hated in Cleveland, you might end up being hated in the Bay Area now.
Right. And I'll name names if you want me to, but maybe So, but anyway, this new wave of coaches I see it at the NFL scouting combine every year, although this year I won't because I'm not going, but it used to be those kinds of coaches, with their coffee and, shuffling around from meeting to meeting. And now you see all these young guys and, it's Kyle Shanahan very much on the forefront of that. And, Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur and Mike LaFleur, all those coaches, they have a different look to them now. And it's kind of like this Ivy League look. And in the case of Mike McDaniel, he is an Ivy League guy. He went to Yale. He was a wide receiver there. And I was asking him about how he got going in coaching, because as we talked about last week, Laura, I mean, you reeled off the list of places that McDaniel has followed Kyle Shanahan to. And so I asked him, how did you get involved in this? And he told me a great story about when he was 10 years old. He loved the Denver Broncos. He grew up in Greeley, Colorado, where the Denver Broncos had their training camp. He went to a practice. He'd go to all the practices, and he'd always try to get autographs leaning over the fence. And at 10 years old, he dropped his Broncos hat on the other side of the fence and started crying. And this guy from the Broncos, the video coordinator, his name's Gary McCune, saw him crying, went over, grabbed his hat, and then he became like the kind of the mascot of the Broncos. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that is a great story.
And the funny part is Mike McDaniel became pretty close with the video guy for the Broncos. McDaniel introduces the video guy to his own mom. And those
Wait, hold on. Yeah. Okay. So McDaniel, the video guy gets his hat, and right. then McDaniel introduces his mom
to the video guy.
Okay. Okay.
And they get married.
What?
Yes.
That's awesome.
So that story
just got incredible.
Right. And so then he had these ties to the Broncos. He goes off and he was always a great student. His mom, gave him prizes for getting, good grades. So he just aced high school, goes to Yale. And then when he comes back from Yale, Mike Shanahan made him an intern with the Broncos because he was the only one around who knew anything about technology. And so the Broncos were kind of working through their computer systems, and McDaniel knew how to do it and could show other coaches, how to best use that technology. And then he goes with Kyle to the Texans, right? Texans. And then he's been part of that Shanahan family for a long time. And so,
you know what this kind of reminds me of? It reminds me of the switch over, like Moneyball, what the A's did. Mm-hmm. It seems like football is kind of following a few years behind the whole analytics, like getting these really bright young minds inserted into the game and having them, formulate and come up with some of these offenses, these intricate offenses.
Yeah. And that's what McDaniel does. I mean, McDaniel is a guru he's incredibly smart, and he will, he'll call up Kyle Juszczyk. There was a play against the Browns, the Monday night game, where the first play of the game, the 49ers, I think it was Matt Breida, had like a 65-yard touchdown run. So that's the 2019 season. And the lead up to that game, like the day before, you know, on the players' off day, they're going to be reporting to practice. I believe it was on like a Wednesday. So Tuesday night, McDaniel calls up Kyle Juszczyk and says, you are going to love this play that we have installed. And it kind of capitalizes on Juszczyk's great change of direction. You know, Juszczyk has this ability to, you know, to make it look like he's lead blocking a certain way. The defense will kind of shift over, and then he cuts it back, and Breida or whoever the running back is just follows him through the hole. And it, I think Breida went untouched for that. And so that was Mike McDaniel. That was his brainchild. And he called Juszczyk and said, you're going to love this play that we've installed. And they ran it the first play of the game and went for a touchdown. So that's one thing that is interesting about this, is because Kyle Juszczyk, I don't know if you checked out his social media on Monday.
Yeah, well, I saw that you retweeted him. He's really close with McDaniel. I mean, it sounds like they are from that story.
Yeah, even though it's a Harvard-Yale relationship, and I don't know that Harvard people and Yale people get along. You know, there's
I think
only
they so can much, put the past in the past. But, you know,
there's only so much brain power, though, for one. There's not enough one brain power for the rooms. Yes.
We could use a little bit of help in that department.
Yeah, gosh, yeah, tell me about it. Thanks, Laura.
I said we. It's we, okay, me too, yeah. Mayoko. Oh, speaking yeah. of, we've got to clear the air, Mayoko. I got this tweet, and then we'll talk a little D'Amico Ryan.
Okay.
So I got this tweet, and I just want to clear the air and make sure. I am fluent in sarcasm, as are you. I feel like we're very fluent in that language. And someone's very upset with me. They Ooh. Said that I throw veiled insults at you.
What?
Yeah.
See, I'm just not smart enough to pick up on them.
So we got to clear the air.
Yeah.
Mayoko and I are very fluent in sarcasm.
Yes. And we're very good friends.
A few
sharp barbs won't come between us.
Not at all. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there and let everybody know that,
that
we joke.
There's no hostilities. Hey,
not at all.
Laura, 49ers Talks is brought to you by Planet Orange, effective eco-friendly pest control. And Laura, one last thing about Juszczyk. We talked about him last week being a free agent. Well, don't you think it makes it even a little bit more attractive for him to return to the 49ers knowing that Mike McDaniel?
McDaniel's going to be in there fighting for Juszczyk. You know he is. He's going to be like, remember the play in 2019?
That's right. I made
How many more of those can we do?
Yeah. And so, and you mentioned D'Amico Ryans. I think it's kind of the same way where – you know, Robert Saleh was such a popular coach, and to replace a popular coach with an equally popular coach, I think that, you know, that helps the 49ers keep that continuity going with the coaching staff and with the players and everything else. So yeah, D'Amico.
And I also saw, I don't know, speaking of social media, if you saw JJ Watt tweet out when it was just reported that D'Amico Ryans was going to be named defensive coordinator, really excited for him, talking about how much he loves him. We've talked about Takeo, Ian, and Dante all supported D'Amico Ryans and really wanted to see him succeed. I think it speaks a lot when you have these guys, these former players of the game supporting him, and even, you know, guys in the league supporting him and wanting to see him succeed. It speaks a lot about who he is as a person. And Robert Saleh, like you said, is a difficult coach to replace. Those are hard shoes to fill. And I feel like they picked the perfect person just from what I've heard from our analysts.
Yeah. And I bet that former players like to see, or I should say players like to see former players get in that chair, cause they know what it's like. So probably a guy like JJ Watt's going, you know, that's great. I mean, JJ Watt doesn't need to become a coach. You know, he certainly won't need the money after his playing career is over, but you know, there are a lot of coaches that, you know, if D'Amico Ryans has a good career as a coach, I mean, that opens the door for other guys to want to do that. And so, yeah, I mean, I bet that's something that, you know, as the NFL tries to become more diverse, that that's a good thing. And, you know, as Kyle Shanahan kind of, he said it last week, was that, you know, D'Amico Ryans will be a defense coordinator. He will be a head coach. So it just always made the perfect amount of sense for him to make sure that if D'Amico Ryans was going to be a coordinator, it was going to be with the 49ers and not some other team.
While we're on this Houston Texans train,
Ooh,
do we want to dive down in this rabbit hole? Are we going to go there?
I think we are. But first, let's hear from Big O Tires.
At Big O Tires, we're always here to give you a great deal. Now get up to $150 in savings. Save $100 instantly on select tires. Plus, get a $50 mail-in rebate on purchases of $500 or more on your Big O credit card. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
We're back on 49ers Talk. And Laura, do you have that button right in front of you? That hot button that you just pushed right before our
It's our ringing. Break? But it's the red button. You have to push it. You know what
True.
I mean?
Yeah. The red.
So Deshaun Watson, apparently from reports that we're seeing, he's all but out. He does not want to be a part of the Texans, and he's looking for somewhere else to go. That's according to the reports that are swirling. That's what we do in the off season. Everybody's the rumor mill churns.
You know, it's funny because he didn't text me. He tweeted that.
You're not that cool, Mayoko.
No,
Come on.
I'm really not. But he tweeted something along the lines of, I was at a 2 and now I went to 10, which was a reference to Adam Schefter's report that after the Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins last year, Watson was not happy. But on that range of 1 to 10 for unhappiness, it was a 2. And then after the stuff that's happened this offseason, that anger's gone up to a 10. So
okay, I'm glad you clarified that. I don't know if anyone else out there didn't get that tweet, but I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, so that's what
to. It's all coming to me now.
But what the funny thing is, when I first read it, I thought he was kind of poking fun at the report. Like, I didn't take it, like, I mean, I don't know Deshaun Watson, so I don't know what his sense of humor is, but everybody read it as, oh, Deshaun Watson, super angry. He just admitted he's a 10. And I thought, hold it now. Are we sure he's not joking? But it certainly appears as if he wasn't joking.
He's really not joking.
Yeah. Let me read this one paragraph from ESPN. Chris Mortensen, who's been doing a lot of work on this too, he's a longtime NFL reporter. According to ESPN, a source close to Watson told Mortensen that the Miami Dolphins remain a prominent landing spot because the quarterback likes the culture he has observed under Miami head coach Brian Flores. And listen to this, there's no state income tax in Florida.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, I don't think I have to tell you, Laura, and I don't think I have to tell a good many of our listeners here on 49ers Talk. There is a state income tax in California.
Oh, it's your entire paycheck, actually. The state income tax is just your whole paycheck. You actually don't get a paycheck in the state of California.
Yes, you just get a return at the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. The players had to be thrilled with playing in Arizona for a little while. We talked about that on a previous podcast during the season, but it's killer in California. The state income tax is very high. So if I'm one of these players and you're making – it was what deterred – one of the reasons it deterred Bryce Harper from coming to the Giants, actually, because he wanted so much more money to kind of compensate for the income tax that he was going to, you know, be hit with the large sums of money that they're making. I mean, and really all of us, whether you're making large sums of money or not, get hit with it. So it is, I mean, that is an interesting aspect. And these players care about that stuff. I mean, this is setting their families up. This is why they play. You hear, you know, Raheem Mostert get emotional. They want the best for their family. They're not just putting their bodies on the line for nothing. So that is an interesting aspect of it.
Yeah. Trying to put food on the table.
Got to put some food on the table.
Harper. And speaking of putting food on the table.
Bacon? Laura? Can we put bacon on the table?
I think we can.
Let's put bacon on the table because any time of day is Baconator time. Baconate in the morning with a Wendy's Breakfast Baconator. All that bacon now for breakfast. Try this one free with any in-app purchase. Always be baconating at participating U.S. Wendy's. I am always down to baconate. Let me just tell you that.
Laura, I think you're drooling a little bit.
Okay, so sorry. Yeah. Let me wipe that off. By the way, they still haven't sent me the Baconator, and I'm a little upset about it.
Yeah, I have a feeling that if they sent that to you, they would be creating a monster.
Yeah, that's true. Then they're like, we got to keep doing this, so we can't go down that road. Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Deshaun Watson? You know, John McClain certainly doesn't think they're going to trade him, but if he really presses the issue, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he has a lot of sway in this, and he can really make a demand.
Well, we saw it with James Harden.
Yeah.
This season. I mean, we've seen it come out of Texas this season in the NBA. Yeah, I mean, if you have a disgruntled quarterback, how are they supposed to lead your team? And he's totally, it sounds like he's in a different headspace, that he just really doesn't want to be there. And to have to walk back through those doors, granted, you get paid lots of money to do a job. I think he would do that. But once they're out, they're kind of out. I mean, it seems like he just really doesn't want to be there. And then you've got to work with these people every day and work with your coach. And that could just, it's just not good. It's the opposite of what the 49ers have created. And one thing that was another report that was going around is he really wanted the Texans to interview Robert Saleh. Mm-hmm. And out of all the teams that had head coaching vacancies, the Texans were the only team to not express interest in Saleh, which I thought was strange.
Yeah.
Considering he's obviously a wanted coach around the NFL. If you were
he coached with them previously.
Right. If you just wanted to do that to make your quarterback happy, just bring him in for an interview. Like, that didn't seem like that's a bad idea. I don't know. I still think it's too far of a reach for the 49ers with what they would have to give up. I don't see it being a realistic option. I think it would be a great offense if Deshaun Watson was a quarterback for the 49ers. I just still think it's too far.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have to give up a lot. You know, they'd have to give up a lot more than just Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, draft picks. You know, some people are saying, oh, would they have to give up Nick Bosa? I think you said, you know, Deebo Samuel said, no, don't give up Bosa. He's not touched.
He is untouchable.
Yeah, I don't know that Deebo has GM in front of his name, but general manager Deebo Samuel says, no, Nick Bosa. He's off the table. And the thing that you really saw last year was, yes, every team needs really good quarterback play, but how that whole 49ers team really changed when Bosa came to the team. And he made a huge impact. So the thing you don't want to do if you're the 49ers or any team, but let's just say the 49ers, because there is a good nucleus there, you don't want to have to give up so much to get one player that you weaken the rest of the team and you make it difficult on that player to succeed because he doesn't have the supporting cast.
Yeah. And then you might create other issues within the locker room. Oh, you're going to give up Bosa.
Yeah.
And then that could start a whole negative spiral in the opposite direction. And I don't think the 49ers are going to mess with what they have. They've worked too hard to put it together.
Yeah. There are some other coaching changes that Mike Silver has reported. One's not a surprise. Actually, probably none of them are really a surprise. I kind of thought that John Benton, the 49ers offensive line coach, would go with Robert Saleh because Chris Foerster, who has a long history with Kyle Shanahan, he's gotten his life back on track. He's done a good job. He's got a lot of trust on that offensive line. And so by allowing Benton to go with Robert Saleh to the Jets, the very smooth transition is Chris Foerster becomes the offensive line coach. And this is big because, as we talked about Kyle Juszczyk and Mike McDaniel, Trent Williams considers Chris Foerster like a father figure. Like those two are extremely tight. Chris Foerster was Trent Williams' first offensive line coach in the NFL. Those two guys have remained together. They've remained in contact through thick and thin. And so the fact that Chris Foerster remains with the 49ers, not only remains with the 49ers, but now takes on a more prominent role, has to be a very good sign that if the 49ers come anywhere close as far as financially, that Trent Williams will want to be with the 49ers.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And it seems like the 49ers are trying to do what they can to encourage Trent Williams to stay and elevate within their own staff. And that's what we expected.
Yeah. And the other one is Rich Scangarello. And he was the 49ers quarterbacks coach for the first couple years of the Kyle Shanahan 49ers regime before he went to become the general manager. Not general manager. He went to I don't know why I have general manager on my mind. But anyway, he went to become the offensive coordinator with the Denver Broncos under Vic Fangio. Fired after just one season, he was with the Philadelphia Eagles staff last year as a senior offensive assistant. Mike Silver reports that Rich Scangarello is coming back to the 49ers to be the quarterback's coach. I don't know what that means as far as the shuffling or...
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
Yeah, so I can't help you there, Laura.
Oh, okay. Well, Mayoko, come on. What good are you right now? Yeah,
that's going to have to be so much.
We have two of these, so maybe on Thursday we'll have a better idea.
We'll have a better idea, yeah.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats with a deposit today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
You stirred a pot on Twitter this week that I don't know needed to be stirred. We were talking about the Browns game at the beginning of this with their loss to the Chiefs. There was, I don't know, some play that happened and everybody got all in a tizzy about it. And you were playing devil's advocate. And maybe you actually believe it.
I do believe it.
Wow.
I'm
going to read what Mayoko tweeted out. Okay. All right. So I'm going to read what you tweeted out about.
Well, first, can I set the stage?
Yes, set the stage.
Yeah. So the Browns were, you know, closing in on a touchdown. I even forget the player's name. Higgins, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's Rashard Higgins.
Rashard Higgins, yeah. He was nearing the goal line. He starts to reach the ball out over the goal line. A Chiefs defensive back comes flying in. Might have been an illegal hit, but he knocked the ball loose because Higgins was reaching out to try to break the plane of the goal. The ball is fumbled through the end zone on the other side of the pylon, out the sideline there in the end zone. And by rule, it's instead of the Browns on the doorstep to score a touchdown, it's Chiefs ball at the 20-yard line. A lot of people on Twitter say it's a stupid rule. You got to change it. You say what? Well, then you can read what I...
Yeah, I'm going to read your tweet and then I'll weigh in later. Okay. You've had enough of it. You said enough whining, people. If you fumble, you might lose possession. Everyone knows the rule, so don't fumble.
Yes.
Burn. a lot of people comment. You have like 271 comments on this thing, and you followed that up with the end zone is different because it's 6 points if he breaks the plane of the goal line with the ball. When you reach out like that, you're taking the risks associated with that. Yes, it should have been a penalty for leading with the head. So let's get that in there because people were mad at you about that. Yep. But that's another discussion. So yeah, the helmet to helmet, and that's where I have a hard time with this, is because if there was no helmet to helmet, would he have fumbled?
Well, he reached the ball out. It wasn't like he had the ball tucked in.
Yeah, but
he
maybe
wasn't
if
protecting
the hit wasn't
it.
So hard, okay, I don't know.
Let me say this. I do know that even after the game, Kevin Stefanski said, we do not teach our players to reach the ball out over the goal.
Yeah, and he did say, you know, I appreciate Higgins's effort. Mm-hmm. But that is one rule that we have, especially in that type of a situation. We say do not reach the ball out.
And that's a big coaching point for Bill Belichick too. He has often said, we teach our guys, unless it's fourth and goal, do not reach the ball out because of that reason. So I stand by that. I think that there's no reason to change the rule. All the rules in the NFL, it seems like, are set up to help the offense. And that's one where, hey, you know what the rule is. If you're reaching the ball out, you know, you got to take care of that football because it's not like it's a surprise. Like, hold on, what's the rule? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I thought we kept control. No.
And you know what? I don't know how I feel about it. I'm undecided.
Come on, Laura.
Part of me wants to take a stand, Laura. I know, but I got to work through this. Maybe some of our listeners need to work through this with me. I respect that there needs to be a harsher penalty for the fact that it's the end zone. I disagree with, what's the difference between it going out of bounds there and going out of bounds anywhere else on the field? I understand that there's a higher risk. I think the penalty is too high for the situation. Maybe there's a better way to do it. I don't want to reward the offense too much because he fumbles the ball at an important, a key part of the game and a key moment in the red zone at the goal line. I get all that, but I don't think it does seem a little unfair.
So you would say The happy medium, I guess, would be to move the ball back to the 20 and the team that fumbles retains possession.
I think that's pretty fair. Yeah, I could go down that road.
I still think that who made the best play on that particular play?
This one's hard for me because of the penalty. There should have been a penalty on it.
Yeah.
But
that's beside the point.
But not on this specific situation. So if the penalty's called, then what? It's second down and they have another opportunity, right?
Well, if the penalty's called, then if the penalty were called, it would probably go back to the previous spot and it'd be a 15-yard penalty. Because it wouldn't be a spot foul, I don't think. Yeah.
So I think people would be fine with it if it weren't for the penalty.
I don't know.
I think that this one's a hard one because of the penalty. If Sorensen didn't do helmet-to-helmet contact, then we'd be having a different discussion, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't like the rule as it stands. I don't know that I have a better idea, although it sounds like you do. And I think I could get on board with that. Although we're not the NFL owners and we don't get to make the decision. So
we barely even get to make the decisions on the podcast.
Barely. Sometimes we don't even get to.
No. One last thing, and my piece of paper is around here somewhere, but I don't need it. I know the one name that people will be wondering about. Tuesday is the voting for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and John Lynch, an 8-time finalist. That's rough.
Yeah.
8 times this year he won't be getting that knock on the door because I don't know that anybody's going to be actually going to the
show. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's kind of sad.
But so he's an 8-time finalist. He's up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There's two slam dunk guys who are going to be going in, Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson. A third, I think, first-time finalist, probably has a pretty good chance, but I'm not quite sure, Calvin Johnson. And then you have John Lynch and I don't know. I think this could be his year, but that meeting is taking place on Zoom all day Tuesday. So I'm not sure exactly when the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2021 will be announced, but hopefully this is the year that John Lynch gets some good news.
Yeah. And you're a part of that voting committee. So on Thursday, I want to pick your brain about what happens behind closed doors, but that doesn't work here. So on secret Zoom calls.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know.
I'm going to hack the Zoom people. I'll give you all the insight.
Ask me about it. Don't know what I'll be able to say. Don't know.
Yeah, I know. I won't get you in trouble.
Yeah, I know. You're always trying to get me in trouble.
Always. Apparently I'm throwing insults at you too. Who knew?
All right, Laura. So we'll be back here on Thursday with more 49ers talk and who knows, maybe some more shuffling on the 49ers coaching staff.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.